Would you be kind enough to come with me at this moment? The book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 20. The book of Romans, chapter 4, verses 20. What I find incredibly is from moment to moment, we go through some fiery trials. And in that fiery trials that when we go through, we seem to ask ourselves, why isn't God answering us? And why isn't God speaking to us? Why isn't God doing some powerful things in our life right now? And so being a Christian for the last 42, 43 years and being in the ministry for the last 38 years and going through life that I know of, I want to title this simple message or this simple sermon with you, Thanking God in Advance Notice. Could you kindly write this in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, Thanking God in Advance Notice. To some of you will say, you know, why do we really even have to pray when God is already sovereign? The moment we are going to utter those words, He will always, you know, finish us with a full stop, knowing our hearts, knowing our spirits, that He already knows what we need from Him. But in the midst of all this, Amos chapter 3 verses 6 and 7 says, that he starts to say, I will not do anything until I have consulted with my servant's prophets, it says that. So in other words, God is asking, in every sense of the word, to partner with him. He knows all our needs. I understand that. I get that. But to partner with him, it takes to another level of your personal life. And so I want to impart to you as Pastor Lena. I'm surprised in the last trip, about 4 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago I was here, I had the privilege of meeting Pastor Lena and Pastor Easy in their place. And when I went down there, I didn't want to leave their home. I'm surprised they are still here in this church at this moment because as I sat down, the place was so comfortable, so beautiful. It's like almost the Garden of Eden. And I came back home, back to Australia, and I told my wife, if I own a house like what Pastor Easy and Lena does, I will never do any ministry. It was so amazing. I mean, you could see guys are playing, you know, golf. And, you know, you could see this picturesque, you know, green lawn and all the above. And I said to myself, how on earth these pastors are still ministering because I could stay there for the next 20 years, not even coming out. That's not the topic for today, but I'm just saying this to you right at this moment, that I had a wonderful time getting to know your pastor. I know Pastor Lena, she kept me going laughing because of her jokes and how she just kept on speaking. And I just want to thank for the friendship that God has given to us. Romans chapter 4 verses 20 says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Would you underline the last part of it? Giving glory to God. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 says, now faith is a substance which I hope for, but it's not there. I wanted to claim it. The unknown author, the book of Hebrews says that. But I'm not speaking about faith. I'm speaking about thanking God in advance notice for the promises that God has promised you. But in every promise that God wants to give it to you, I want to use a word called you and I will contest that promise because someone else is contesting that promise around us, against us, none other than the work of the enemy. So nothing is given to you on a silver platter. Everything is going to be contested. In the moments of those contests and the contest that goes through right now, many of us will feel wanting to give up and wanting to walk away. Right now, I've got a very wonderful, good problems in my church. Simultaneously, at this moment, 13 women have fallen pregnant in my church. My principal, my then seminary principal, used to say, if you can't grow church, make sure the women in your church will know how to increase by having more children. And that prophecy has come to pass. And so right at this moment, there are 13 women simultaneously are pregnant, Four of them, now five of them have given birth, and then the rest of them, every single month, a child, a child, a child, a child. But if I were to go and sit down with the 13 women, 13 women have come and seen me and my wife, broke their hearts over the last number of years. All of them are in their late 30s, and all of them started to panic they will never have a child. 13 of them, I will sit down with my wife, and we kept on encouraging them, you'll have a child, you'll have a child, you'll have a child, you'll have a child. One of them is already 46 or 47 years of age, pregnant right at this moment. So what am I trying to say? As my wife and I started speaking to their life, I kept on saying to them, please thank God in advance notice. I know the child is not there, but the child is about to come through. So every area of your life that you go through, maybe your children, maybe your marriage, maybe your business, maybe a partnership of some sort of a collaboration that you're doing something in your life, each one of them represents a brand new baby. But the baby hasn't been given birth, but the birthing is taking place, but the birthing is starting to get delayed, starting to get postponement, and starting to get discouraged. Discouragement sets in your life. But here, the book of Romans chapter 4, verses 20 says so clearly, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. I don't want to focus the rest of it, but the Bible says giving glory to God. And when you start to look in the realm of the Greek language, and when you start to look at the Greek language, there are shades of words which we don't understand as Anglo-Celtic, Anglo-Saxony language when we start to look at. But when you start to say giving glory to God, it means, and he's trying to say to us, he was thanking God the entire time. I will have this child. I will have this child. I will have this child. So may I encourage you, number one, if you are here today and you are saying to yourself, how am I going to get healed? How am I going to be done? And nothing in me that I'm doing, I don't see anything moving around me. I want you to start to go up the ante your prayer and go against what the enemy is throwing at you. You see, it's easy to come and preach and teach the word, but when you do the walk, when the rubber hits the road, it's not easy. But in the midst of all this, in the last 38 years, I've walked in the presence of God. All I can start to see is how much could you really thank him? How much could you really praise him? How much could you really do some of those powerful things what God can do? At about a number of months ago, I was at your city and I was at Inspire Church. At that Inspire Church, thousands of people have rocked up. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to pray for all of them. I started praying and then I did not leave until 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. You know how I work with the Holy Spirit. He says, you've got, you know, and my pastor used to say to me, you're like a steroid injected, you're like a jelly bean injected with steroids. So I am. So I will pray. And wherever I go, that's the hallmark that I've got from the Spirit of God. Don't let one person go until you have prayed for every single person. Anyhow, at Inspire Church, the whole entire auditorium has been filled. A lady was watching on the Facebook, and I'm starting to speak and starting to preach, and she had Parkinson's disease. And as she watches it, as she was watching, and she was starting to get strengthened, and she could not drive, and she can't drive, but she was not that far away where Inspire Church is. She gets her son or she gets an Uber taxi and she says, I want to go to the church right now where Rach is speaking. She got down there and she was sitting right at the back and I'm praying for thousands of people. She just said, now I'm not going to disturb this man. I'm going to be sitting at the back and I'm just going to claim the anointing what this presence of God has got. I'm going to claim this anointing. Started to pray. At the end of her prayer, giving thanks, At the end of it, I have left the service by the end of it, and she was by now running in the entire church. The entire Parkinson's disease left her for once and for all. This is in your city. This is not in Australia. This is not in China. This is not in India or Sri Lanka. This is in your city. A simple lady watching my service on Facebook, Inspire Church. Then he got inspired. I need to go for this. I don't want to touch this man, but I'll sit at the back. And she gave thanks. And the secret was when we asked her, what really triggered you off? And she said, I came into this church, faith was rising up. And in that faith, I can't do anything much about it, except I need to jump up and down. And just gave him thanks for who he is, what he is. And God removed Parkinson's disease. Can I say this right now? The realm of the supernatural is interesting. I find many churches when I go down to, and many churches believe in the theology of cessation. Somehow or other, the Holy Spirit does not work anymore. Somehow or other, the giftings does not work anymore. Yet, if you go through the book of Genesis, right off the book of Revelation, page after page, word after word, God is supernatural. How would you say that God does not operate and function? Come with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 to 5. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 4 to 5. Bible says to me, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received, and with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. The last part of it, verses 5. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. When you give God the praise in every single unusual circumstances, may I say, you will never see God working in front of you, but behind the scenes, the wheels are already in motion. I want to increase the realm of your faith. And when your faith gets increased, there's another element is needed. When the faith gets increased, the other aspect of it, how much could you just keep on praising Him over and over and over again? I find it amazing that you and I can go and catch up, you know, your buddies, and in Australia we say mates. We go and catch up with your mates and you could talk for hours and hours. But when it comes to the realm of prayer and the realm of giving thanks, we will say our tongue is tired. We are unable to do any further than that. May I say this, you know, the realm of prayer is not boring, but the realm of prayer is about practice. Many years ago, I read about a French monk. He wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of the Living God. If you ever get that book, it's a classic. But this monk, all he did, he basically washed dishes every single day in the kitchen. But whenever he washes his dishes, he will always find the presence of God comes in just washing dishes. For me, I find the presence of God when I park the cars in my own church. Every Sunday when you come to my church, I'm not in the church, I'm outside the church, parking cars. Why do I say this right now? When I see my people, when I direct them, lead them into a car park, there is an element of praise and thanksgiving coming through, because on a Sunday morning, you could do anything you want to do, but your people have just come over here just to give Him thanks. This morning, you could do all those things. You could go and play, and you can go and play a game. You could do all of the above. But you've sacrificed your time just simply wanting to know this power of Jesus, this power of the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He is able to do. You see, right at this moment, in the critical juncture, as you go through in your personal life, you'll always ask yourself, why isn't God speaking to me? I feel that God is some 150,000 kilometers away. He's not answering me. But in the midst of all this, God is always working behind the scenes. But yet, Timothy says so clearly, verses 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and in prayer. May I say this right now? Giving thanks God in advance notice puts you in a first place, not in a last place. But I also want to let you know, there was a gentleman in your country, Paul E. Bilheimer. If you could get his book, Destined to the Cross or Destined to Victory, Paul E. Bilheimer. He's no longer alive. He's gone to be with the Lord. He said one in his book, in one of the pages, he says very clearly that God sent us over here, God has established over here, but one day you will find yourself, you leave this earth, mortality will hit you. When mortality hits you, you'll go up and see your maker. And so meanwhile, before you see your maker, this place becomes the apprenticeship. And in this apprenticeship, God is starting to put a fellowship and a communication between yourself and God. The interesting thing is, do you realize when you go up to heaven, the entire time your tongue will be praising him and thanking him? If you can't praise him and thank him, I'm going to be honest with you, you're going to have a rude shock in your life right now. You can't go into heaven and say, I never thought I have to keep on praising him for the rest of your life. May I pray, may I ask of you right now that you will start to understand giving in advance notice. I think you and I can do a lot of things in our life. But one of the freedom that God has given to you is this aspect. Let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 to 17. We find on the day of the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came in, he never touched your feet, never touched your legs, he never touched your eyes, he never touched your head, he never touched your brains. What part did he touch you? Your tongue. You see, the reason why he touched your tongue is that has got the power. Bible says to me in the book of Proverbs that life and death is in the power of tongue. And so right at that moment, we carry the Pentecostal heritage or the legacy. And when we carry the legacy, we don't want to be known just Sikara, Rabbe, Kure, Rabu. We want to be known not only for that, but the entire time when you leave this church, that language of heaven still is being maintained. And as that language just gets maintained, there are praises are going before God Almighty. Can I encourage you? You know, I know the fact that men and women want to get promoted. I know that you want to get healed. I know that you want to get married. I know you want to have this. I know you want to have this. When you move in the prophetic, God starts to show you all of the above. But even in the prophetic, God will often say to me, I want you to start give thanks to me right now before I will do something for you. So there is an aspect of ownership that you take before God. And the onerous, it's on you. Whether are you going to be making the right decisions, the right choices, what God has called you to do so. And in order to do that, may I say this to you right now, that requires a huge amount of responsibility from you. I run all these churches around the world, and I train a lot of my pastors, and their churches are growing, and they're booming, and they're, you know, seeing all the above, and they still want to learn more about it. The one thing I'll often learn, and every pastor will have some sort of a pain or agony or suffering, I'll often say, have you given God the thanks at this moment? And so in the midst of all this, I find it extraordinary. Come with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. The book of Daniel, chapter 12, verses 12 to 13. Bible says to me over here, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard. It says, and I have come because of your words. Underline this two powerful scripture, these two powerful words. Listen very carefully. It says over here that you set your heart to understand, and humble yourself before God. Your words were heard, and it says, and I've come because of your words. But listen very carefully. If you were to read through the entire fasting and prayer, we call in the West, and we call it the Daniel fast. And as you go through right now, and scripture says to me, apparently, and the scripture says, God already heard it in that prayer on the very first day. But it's not taking place until the 24th day or on the 23rd day. You see what I'm trying to say this right now? 23 days or 24 days, things are moving, but no one can see it. Only God could see it. Except when Son of Man appears, yeah, I've heard your prayers. I've heard your prayer, and I know who you are, and I know what you're going to do. I came here because of your humility. I came here because I've heard your words. But listen very carefully. The first 23 days was a hard work. Daniel did not know what was going on. But in the midst of all this, he is fasting, he's praying, he's thanking God for everything that God is doing, and God, and he's giving thanks to God right at this moment. Can I encourage you? Can I ask of you right now? This is Daniel, one of the powerful prophets. He's a kind of minor prophet, but I like to call him the major prophet. And this guy sits under four different civil administrations. This administration are not Christians, are basically secular guys are running. But this four administrations is asking each administration, different empire, ask him, what is God saying to your life right now? What is God saying to me about my personal life? You see, I want to encourage you. I just want you to let you know right now, if you are praying a prayer and the prayer is not getting heard, may I say this right now, you need to start to up the ante even to go even further in the realm of prayer. Don't stop, but give him thanks, give him praise in advance notice. I'm a huge Man United supporter, Manchester United, EPL, English Premier League. I like your football, but, you know, because we are more, I would say, we are more influenced by the English, being once upon a time we were, under the British colony. And so I've been supporting Man United since 1978. And that's, so I know, you know, I know that more than I know my own salvation in Jesus Christ. So, you know, Man United was my salvation back in the day. And so I've been a great supporter of Man United. And whenever they're going down, yeah, they're not doing it all. There's always a shout, go on, go on, go on. I can't believe you. You know, I'll shout. And I said, I can't believe this is such an easy goal to score. What's wrong with you? And that's all I said. What's wrong with you? You know, why can't you really use your brains and do something about it? And so my son, Jesse, has also followed me. And he'll sit down with me. And we both will shout and yell each player. And my wife will say, I don't know what is going on in this household. But in the midst of all this, and I often say, there's a cheer. There are 22, you know, pardon my language, 22 Muppets chasing one ball. And we are, you know, and these Muppets are running all around the place. And we give such a great support. What about you and I supporting the realm of the kingdom of heaven? You see, we try to find, I think it's nothing wrong for you to enjoy when God has given you life. I'm not saying that. But I just want you to also realize, I want you to understand, sometimes when we go through trial, we like to escape from the trials. I call it escapism. In that escapism, we try to look ourselves in a soccer team, in a football team, in a golf, or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. But at the end of it, what we are doing, we are taking our eyes from the prize goal that God has given, and we move away and we escape ourselves. In the midst of all this, think about it. There are moments that you and I can grieve the heart and the work of the Holy Spirit. What are you doing right at this moment, Rich? Why are you shouting? Why are you yelling? Why aren't you not shouting and yelling for the things that I've called you for right at this moment? I remember this last night. I was at Ashford Community Church doing a miracle service. You know, when you're 22 years of age, you climb mountains and you do bungee jump and all this above. My wife often says, you're a very unusual man. By the age of 22, I found a beautiful brook. And that brook's name is Jane Brook. There was a lady by the name of Jane Brook. She passed away. But before she passed away, the government of Western Australia felt this brook should be named after her name. It's Jane Brook. So every winter, when the brook gets up right up here, at about 6 degrees, 7 degrees, I will jump into the brook in the middle of the night from 7 o'clock right up through 1 o'clock in the morning. I'll be jumping and it'll be freezing cold. I'll raise my hands up, 22 years of age, so passionate for God. Raise my hands up. God, give me the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit or just smoke me now. That was my prayer. Don't do that. Don't do that. Smoke me now. In other words, I just basically said, give me the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit or kill me, take me now, right now, because my life is not worth living. 22-year-old. And my wife says to me, well, not many 22-year-old will jump in the brook in the middle of the night asking the Holy Spirit to give the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. So what am I trying to say? When you are giving thanks, I want you to use this word called passion. How much are you passionate about the Holy Spirit? What's your passion like? There ought to be a passion to drive you all the way. There's a passion to support a team. There's a passion to be in love with your wife. There's a passion for you to be in love with your husband. There's a passion which always pushes everything. There is a passion in us. But when it comes to God, sometimes you and I will go in lukewarmness. We'll come to God when you feel like coming. Can I ask of you right now, Jesus is certainly not a crutch. But rather, I like my people in my congregation. Sometimes I won't see them for 6 months. On the 7th month, they will come to church. I said, what's happened? Oh, Pastor Rich, a big trial has come. I have come over here because I want a word. Give me a word. God says to me, this was going to happen. But if he or she would have been in your service for the last number of months, that blow would have been cushioned a lot more lower than now. It's blown out of proportion. Can I say this? God is calling you and God wants to deal with you and to deal with me. In the midst of all the things you go through, can you start to give him thanks in advance notice? So Daniel knows that he's praying, but he's praying in the realm of faith. But in the realm of faith, he was also passionate. But not only passionate, but he was also giving thanks, giving glory to God. On the very first day, scripture says God apparently already heard his words. But then he doesn't appear. It's interesting because the prince of Persia was holding back angel Gabriel not to allow. There was a warfare is going through. So you and I will go through spiritual warfare. And so there's a prayer is going to be answered. But the spiritual warfare will be up in second heavens. And you have to contest it and you have to pray and you've got to go against it. But one of the powerful things, let me say to you right now, Satan does not like your thanksgiving. Satan does not like your praises. Yeah. Satan does not like your laughter and your cheer. My way of always giving thanks is always laugh. I laugh like a hyena. And if you come down to my church, if you ask my other pastor, where is Pastor Rich? They will often say, you hear this hyena laughing, you go with the hyena laughing, and that's where Pastor Rich is. So they come after me because the way I laugh loud. My dad used to tell me, please act like a gentleman. You don't act like a gentleman. You act like a hooligan. That was my dad. My dad was born in 1925. He was a builder's generation. He was very, prim and proper. I said to myself, no, I'll rebel against my father's manners. I will go against him and I will be like, I was not a hooligan. But I just want to laugh at life. Bible says to me, the book of Proverbs 17 verses 22, a merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. So my bones are very healthy because I'm always laughing. So can I say, if you're going in the realm of the spirit, if anyone rejects you, see the amount of rejection I receive because of autism, Asperger's, OCD, Tourette syndrome, and nonverbal, for the amount of rejection I received today, I should have become a multi-billionaire. I should have charged them for a dollar each time I got rejected. But each time when they rejected me, I laughed, I laughed, I laughed, I laughed, I laughed. And every single time I will go against all odds and they will still say, how on earth Rich has become the one who has become, we never thought this is possible. You see, the God whom you serve, he will always get people's jaw dropping to the ground simply because the awe of God, who he is, what he is, what he is able to do, because the ability to laugh and the ability to thank him, the ability to praise him, the ability to change people's lives. Can I encourage if you could do that? Come with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 11. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 11. I've read this book on many, many times. But today, this morning, at about 4 o'clock, the Spirit of God started to speak to me about this. Scripture tells me over here, the voice of joy. Did you see that? The voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of bridegroom. When you get married to the most beautiful looking girl, When you get married to the most beautiful, the most handsome man, I've never come across in every wedding that I've performed in Australia, you can't help and you can't help to see except both are smiling at each other, laughing at each other because they have found their perfect partners. And so here, Jeremiah says, the voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever. And of those who will bring sacrifice, could you say the word sacrifice for me, please? Sacrifice or praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause the captives of the land to return as at the first, says the Lord. What a powerful promise. So for you, if you are fighting for your children, if you're fighting for your husband, if you're fighting for your wife, they are in a captive. But God says to me that when you're starting to have a voice of joy, a voice of gladness, a sacrifice of praises, I will bring those people back again. Can I encourage you? Nothing beats like the way the Word of God speaks to us. I know the things that God has done in my personal life, but the promise is already in motion. Can I say that? The promise is already in motion. A father turned up one day at my church. Wonderful man. I never knew. Later I found out the dad and the daughter haven't been speaking to each other for 18 years. They've been estranged. He comes up at the altar at the 8:30 service. And I prayed for that man. I said, you're going to get a mobile call. In your country, you'll say, you're going to get a cell phone. There's going to be a ringing out of your cell phone. Pick up that cell phone. Someone is going to be interesting to speak to you. I must have just prayed a prayer. He's walking. He's about to leave the church. The cell phone rings. Picks up over the phone. Hi, Dad. You and I haven't spoken to each other for 18 years. You see what I'm trying to say this to you? My heartfelt prayer at the altar, God has already started to work to cushion and to really soften the father's heart. By the time he cushions and softens the father's heart, now the heart of repentance has taken place. He's going and leaving the church. God in heaven decides, get this daughter who hasn't spoken to him for 18 years, call him right now. I'm reconciling this person. So there's a reconciliation. And so the realm of thanksgiving, the realm of praise plays a powerful role every so often. I want to encourage you. I also want to say this to you right now. The Bible is not a boring book. The walk in God is not boring. I pray quite a lot, and prayer is something I enjoy. And every so often, there are many occasions I will get taken up to heaven, and I will see the Holy Spirit, and I will see Jesus. On some occasions, I will go and intercede on behalf of someone who's about to die, and I'll ask the Holy Spirit, may I see Jesus? And when I see him, I'll often say to him, can I have this person another 5 more years, another 10 more years, because a family is not ready. Right at that moment, he will often say to me, yeah, your words have been ringing like a real ongoing, like a big nuisance of a bell in heaven, and your words have been coming through. So I got the Holy Spirit to come. What do you want? I said, I want another 7 more years for this wonderful man to live. The family is not wanting to let them go. The Spirit of God will often say to me right now, he'll say to me, because of you, today I want to impart this to you. The giftings are fantastic. All the prophetic is fantastic. I wanted to aim one more thing higher for me. The book of Numbers says to me very clearly, Moses, my servant, who I speak to him in not in symbols in his dream, but I speak to him in plain language. On top of it, he says, Moses is just not a servant, but Bible says, Moses, I see him as a friend. I want you to start to emulate like Moses. I do not want you to become a person who will just get attached to God, but I want you to become a friend with God. If for you to become a friend with God, start to know how to clap hands. Start to know how to dance in the midst of God. Start to dance how to have a sacrificial thanksgiving. start to have the things. You see, you got to realize the book of Psalms, Bible says to me that David, whenever we see every part of the book of Psalms, clap all ye people, clap, 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 clap. Have you ever realized why David goes on like a pork chop, clapping, clapping, clapping? Listen very carefully. When you clap, the powers of darkness, the kingdom of darkness realize victory has just come into your camp. He does not want you to have the victory. And if you do not know how to clap, now start to learn how to clap in the presence of the Almighty God. You see, in the middle of the night, people ask me, what do I do? How do I pray? I keep on clapping all night, very gentle, but my wife would not know, my children would not know. But as I clap, clapping symbolizes of victory. Clapping symbolizes of the wall of Jericho falling apart. Clapping symbolizes that you are now building the walls of Jerusalem by Nehemiah when he was doing it. God is restoring your personal life right at this moment. Can I say this right now? You need to realize part of the sacrificial giving, part of the sacrifice of praise, clap plays a powerful role. I think when I see in any soccer matches, people go, when you see Man United versus against Liverpool Football Club, they close their eyes, they raise their hands, and they're virtually worshiping a soccer club. If you can worship a soccer club, why can't you then worship my Almighty God? I want every single person, I'm passionate. I said to God, don't get me into ministry. If no one gets set free, don't get into ministry. If no one is going to get their life to be changed, get me into ministry until you have seen me face to face, which I am privileged to have seen him 26 times face to face over the last many years. Last point, come with me to the book of John, chapter 11, verses 41. John chapter 11, verses 41. Where are we right now? John chapter 11, verses 41. Scripture tells me over here, it says, then they took away, this is Jesus, right? He is the ultimate master, right? This is what it says. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, this is Jesus, right? Last part says, Father, I thank you, you've heard me. Father, I thank you, you've heard me. So if you are saying to me right now, do you ever think Jesus would have given praise and thanks? I've now just proven my thesis to you. Jesus had to give thanks to his Father before Lazarus come forth. Can you understand what I'm trying to say? This is a powerful revelation of God. Every time I think to myself, I think I know the Bible, but I still do not know the Bible. People ask me, how many degrees you've got? I've got 4 bachelors, 5 masters, 6 professional doctorates, and 3 PhDs. So when you can't address me doctor, you have to address doctor, 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 doctor. So there are professors of mine. He says, how do we address you because you've got too many doctors after your name? And the reason I often do those degrees is I get invited to a Presbyterian church, Lutheran church, a Greek Orthodox church, and I'll get invited to a Baptist church. And wherever I go in, they like my qualifications. But little do they realize how sneaky that I can become. I go in with all my qualifications. At the end of the qualification, I said, here is the Holy Spirit right now. Half of the church goes into a complete demonic possession. The other half of the church are all slain in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Catholic priest will say to me, what is going on in this place? I thought you had all the degrees. You did not know I carry a degree in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay. So when we look at this powerful scripture, we are looking over here, verses 41. Father, I thank you, you've heard me. Verses 42, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Verses 43, now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice and says, Lazarus, come forth. I'm about to finish right now. I want to thank you, all of you guys. I've raised 4 dead bodies in the city of Perth. Raising dead bodies, maybe perhaps in the first developed world, it's easy. I'll tell you why. Number one, their hospital system is not good. Number two, the country could be possibly very poor. And so their faith is phenomenal. But when it comes to Canada, America, USA, USA, England, New Zealand, all these Western countries, it's very hard. You come into my country, you can go to the hospital free of charge. You can get medicine free of charge. You go for emergency department free of charge. If you got a terminal illness, the entire government looks after you. We are a very socialist country. Everything is paid by the government. So I often make a joke to my people, and I often say to them, our people don't get healed because Medicare looks after it. I remembered one day I was praying for a lady, and so she was walking like this. So she came up, she prayed, and I hold her hands, and I prayed, and she says to me, she didn't want to say it to me, and she just turns around, and she says to me, "Pastor, I want you to pray for me, but only partial healing. Don't give me full healing because I need the pension." Whoa. This is Australia. Just held my hands and whispered my hands. Make sure there's a healing, but make sure the limp will never disappear. So I can walk like this, so I can keep on getting money from the government. How do you expect God to heal? God can't heal. So I remembered many, many years ago, I was a young man, 37, 38 years of age. We bought this building for $2.1 million. And as I was, I was outside of the church and I'm pacing up and down trying to tell the people, we have paid this X amount of money. And while I was walking, a lady comes in her 60s. She comes in, walks up and down. And then all of a sudden, as I'm still preparing, she collapsed. As she collapsed, a nurse, an off-duty nurse, was in my church. I said, "Sweetie, what are your thoughts?" "She's gone. She's dead." I said, "Are you sure?" "Yeah." "Should we call the ambulance?" I said, "Oh, sweetie, for due diligence, call the ambulance." But I said in my heart, I said, "Nah, not on my watch, this woman will die. I need to make sure this woman will rise up back again." I said, "Sweetie, call the ambulance, 000. She called up. She said, "Oh, they will be here within 20 minutes time." I said, "Okay, great, fantastic." I squat down and I just looked at this scripture. Bible says to me, "Father, I thank you. You've heard my prayers." I sat, squatted down, and my nurse thought I was going to do resuscitation. I said to myself, "Why do resuscitation? The master of the entire universe doesn't need resuscitation. He can do it without resuscitation. Besides which, I don't want to blow from mouth to mouth either. It's just not my style. I just squatted down. And the Holy Spirit says, "The soul hasn't been to heaven yet. Call forth right now. I'm going to raise this dead body." 20 minutes later, the body gets warm. And she came alive. And when she came alive, the ambulance, the paramedics, the doctors, when they checked out, and they said, "You were clinically dead for 20 minutes. Wow. And on that very day, after the resurrection of that lady, my church took off, because that was the church which is able to see, even today, men and women can be resurrected from death. You see, I want you to realize and understand, the gospel is not boring. We have made the gospel boring. Our young people want to come to church, but if you start to say blah, 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 and there is no credible evidence of what God could do, they will also say to you, "Tata, blah, 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 I will leave you." I just came from New Zealand. 4 weeks ago, I was here, went back to Perth, stayed for 4 days with my wife and children, went back to New Zealand for 5 day conference that they made me as a lead conference speaker, and then came back and then stayed for another 1 or 2 more weeks, and I'm back here again, and then I'll be back into this place in 2 weeks time. You'll see me over here back again. But in the midst of all this, I was in this conference. There were 400 young men and women. Listen to this, they were at the age of 15 right up through 18. They were on fire for God. Up and down, fire for God. And I just said, Why are this? And the entire church moves in the power of the gifting of the Holy Spirit. And by the power of the gifting of the Holy Spirit, it's a small town. It's in Wellington, outside of Wellington, called Lower Hutt. But they've captured the entire town with young people because as young people can see God is moving. Can I say this right now? Let's not make the gospel not as though it's got no power. It's like powerless. It's not powerless. There is power. Yeah. But I want you to, what does Bible says? In the book of Ezekiel says, I'm trying to find a man who will stand in the gap. Right. But Bible says, I find no one. Can I ask of you right now to stand with me and to stand in the gap for what God is going to do? Yes. All eyes are closed. Yes. All head is bowed. I'm going to finish this right now in prayer. Father, we're going to thank you. Jesus, we give you praise. Holy Ghost, ask of you right now. In the name of Jesus, God, you'll anoint, you'll bless, you'll touch, God, every single person in this church, God. Not just inspiration, but rather, God, I pray and ask of God a tangible ability of who you are, what you are, what you are capable of doing in our life right now. We are asking that you will pour your Spirit upon every single person, God. We thank you. We ask of you. If there's anyone who do not know my Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, and you are here for the first time, I'm asking of you not to trust me, but I'm asking of you to trust my Savior Jesus. And if you are that person and you are saying, I want Christ for the first time, if you are that person, would you want to put your left hand or your right hand up in the air and you're saying, hey, Rich, I'm the first person. I've never done this before. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and personal Savior. Is anyone, very, very quickly, left hand or your right hand up in the air and you're saying, I want Christ. If there's none at this moment, I pray and ask of God, you'll honor, you'll touch, and you'll give praise and thanks, God, in every sense of the word. I pray and ask of God, your name and your name alone shall be, will be blessed, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.